of the priesthood of all believers. We believe this is a very important doctrine here. You need a pastor, but you do not need a pastor to go to the Lord for you. God calls, and I think I'm preaching on that maybe soon. I don't know. We'll see. God calls all believers have that priesthood, that ability to go straight to God. We believe that Christ is our great high priest, and through him, every born-again person has direct access into God's presence without the need of a human priest. We're not like the Old Testaments that had to go to the priest. That the believer has the right and responsibility to personally study, interpret, and divide the scriptures guided by the Holy Spirit. Since no scripture is of any in private interpretation, we must diligently compare scripture with scripture, ever seeking Holy Spirit guidance. This is important. This is why this is where we differ greatly. We believe that no scriptures of any private interpretation, but we also believe in comparing scripture with scripture. We were talking about this morning. We were talking about that this morning. In the book of Acts, he says they were commanded to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And so this is where there are certain denominations, certain religions that are off in the doctrine. Yes, they are commanded to be baptized in the name of the Lord, but this is where you're to compare Scripture with Scripture. When you go back to Matthew, you see that you're to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So you are being baptized in the name of the Lord, but according to Matthew, you're to be baptized in the name of all three. So what does that leave us? It does not leave a contradiction. It just means that when you're baptized in the name of the Lord, you're also baptized in the name of the Father and the Holy Ghost too. This goes on lines with that people try to use baptism as part of salvation. They'll say, oh, the Bible says, believe and be baptized and thou shalt be saved. They'll take one scripture. Baptism, we believe, is not part of salvation. That it is the first step of obedience after salvation. And so when you compare scripture with scripture, you see when Paul is talking to the Philippian jailer comes in and says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Paul didn't say anything to him about being baptized. He gave a direct thing of things. So you have to compare scripture with scripture. This is why that we tell you it's a personal study. Brother Joe has just as much right and responsibility to study the scriptures, Brother Mike. Brother Mike and Miss Levita have just as much responsibility and right to study the scripture as the man of God. Nobody has any more right to say, well, this, you can't understand this. Now, there are some things that are hard to understand, and if you don't understand, that's where you come, to your pastor. There are some things that I've still, and I go to Brother Shepherd or Brother Teal. I can give you one right now. This verse of Scripture is used by certain religions. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 real quick. I'll show you how it's used. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'm going to show you how they pull this out of context. This is why that we believe what we believe. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let me find the verse real quick. It is down in verse number 29. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 29. Certain religions use this verse out of context. It says in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 29, else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? Now, if you're taking that verse of Scripture there, what does it sound like it's telling you to do?
Baptize the dead.
Be baptized for the dead. That's what the Mormon church does. They take this verse out of context. There are people in the Mormon church that are baptized for dead people because they think it's going to earn them or get those people into heaven. Because they take this verse out of Scripture. And when I first came across this and dealing with a Mormon, I didn't understand it fully because I said, well, you know, it does kind of sound like that. And even when I read it in context, I was reading it so fast that I kept going over the meaning of it. Like I was missing the meaning because I was skimming through it rather than stop and study it out, listen to the thing. And when you read the verses around it, it's talking about you being baptized in the name of the Lord. Elsewhere, why are they baptized for the dead? Baptized for Jesus. He's asking that question. Why are you baptized in the name of Jesus if the dead don't rise again? Why do we believe? That's why it's not just that we believe Jesus died. It's also that we believe he what?
Rose again.
He resurrected for the grave. That's why when you're baptized, this is one of the scriptures to back up scriptural baptism, being submerged. You're baptized with the dead, with Christ, and raised in newness of life. But when you read just that one verse, and so this is why we believe. If you can't understand it, if you come across something, it's not just, hey, as Brother Shepherd has said before, iron sharpeneth iron. Just because somebody's been saved for 20 years don't mean that I know every verse of Scripture and exactly what it's trying to say. There's some that I'm trying to avoid, but if I don't fully understand it, I go to Brother Shepherd, I go to Brother Tim, I go to my pastor, and ask for help if I'm struggling with certain things. Best thing that you can do is if you come across something and it seems controversial or seems, read it again slowly. But this is what we have, and we believe as Baptists, we believe that all believers have a priesthood and the right and responsibility to read the scriptures and to go to God. So let's go through these scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 2 real quick. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15. This is our responsibility. Paul is telling Timothy here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I told y'all this morning, I mean it. I don't want you to just take it. I'm going to show you examples. But if you don't believe me about this King James Bible, then I want you to study that. I want it to become not just that the pastor says it, but that it is a conviction of your own. Because if I leave and some swindler comes in, we've been there. We've been in churches that were King James only, just like what we believe. But the man would get up and we heard him say, well, this would have been a better translation of this right here. They're questioning the Bible. I don't need the Bible to change. I need my thoughts to change. If something I think doesn't line up with the Bible's right and I'm wrong because God said he cannot lie and all men are liars. So if there's something that you feel like, well, this is not right, preacher, or this would be a better translation. Da, da, da. Now, there are certain words, and we've talked about this. We don't need a new translation. There are certain words that have changed definition over the times. There are certain words that mean, that does not mean we need to necessarily change the Bible. It means that we just need to know when the Bible was translated in 1611. I give you an example in the book of Psalms. In the book of Psalms, it calls the Lord terrible. Now, we use the word terrible like, oh, that food's terrible. You know, all something disgusting and gross. So when you think, well, the Lord's a terrible man, that's awful. No, you need to go back to, that's why I have like a Strong's Concordance that gives you the root word, gives you the word of what it meant in the Hebrew or Chaldean or the Greek, what that word means in that actual word. And then you can go, or the 1828 Webster Dictionary, and you can look up and see that terrible has more definitions than just the one that we use. And so that's why it's important. Obviously, because nowadays you got a Supreme Court justice, or probably there's a pretty good chance she's going to get confirmed. A Supreme Court justice can't even tell you what a woman is. I think, you know, that's funny that here we are, 2022, you got a Supreme Court woman going up to the Supreme Court, They can't even tell you what a woman is. Can't even give you a definition of a woman is.
Two chromosomes.
XX chromosomes.
Yep. Two X chromosomes, that's it.
I think one simpler that even kids can understand, but I won't say it from the pulpit. But anyway, but that's where we're at. That's why it's important. If you struggle with something, come to me. If you think that I may misinterpret something, come to me. You know, that's why. But he says here, he's telling Timothy, and so it's to all of us, study to show thyself approved unto God. He goes on, he says in, it may be this one. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. It may not be this particular one, but yeah, it is chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 5. Hebrews 5:5 says, So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, this today have I begotten thee. As he saith in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And so we don't have time to go into that, but we've talked about this. We see Melchizedek in the Old Testament. He met Abraham. He has no beginning, no end. Jesus is Melchizedek in the Old Testament. And he has continued on in this thought. Verse 7, Now who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him, was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he had suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto them that obey him, called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So that's where we see he's the author of our faith. He's the author of eternal salvation. He's our high priest. I do want to read this. This is not part of the Constitution, but as we're talking about what we just talked about, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Here's what he says now. In the writer of Hebrews says in verse 12 of this chapter, chapter 5, verse 12. This is why it's important to study. This is why it's important to go to church. This is why it's important to listen, take notes. Pick your Bible up and read. The writer says, For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth unto them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The writer here is telling us, he said there's people that been saved for years, 20 years, and can't even get up and teach a Sunday school class. He says, for when the time when you're supposed to be teachers, you're still having to be taught. Don't worry, brother, about you not knowing. Hey, you're only a babe in Christ. You've only been saved for a short time. Maybe's not even saved. And so, you know, it's okay. But when I would worry about a preacher, if a man been saved for 20 years and called to preach and couldn't even answer a simple question like if you asked them the four gospels, what's the four gospels, you know? If a man been saved for 20 years or more and couldn't tell you how many books of the Bible there are, I'd be worried about that man. You see what I'm saying? That's what he's saying there. He told Timothy, he said, study, show thyself approved unto God, working he thought to be ashamed of the dividing word of truth. It takes time. I didn't arrive here overnight, and I still don't feel like I've arrived after 21 years, going on 22 years of salvation. I don't feel like I've arrived. I've not learned enough, felt like I've learned enough. I'm sure there's men out here been saved as long as I have that know a lot more of God's word because they devoted and went to college and spent that time that I wished I would have. You don't necessarily have to do that if you'll just devote your time to the word of God. Study, prayer, fasting, all those things. That's why we have a high priest. You go to God. You go to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our mediator. Go with us to chapter 7 of Hebrews. Oh, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Hebrews 7:25 says,
Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So he is the one that makes intercession.
That's why. Listen, we don't do it to be mean. We don't do it to belittle people. I don't say things to... But we don't go to the saints. We don't go to Mary. Why would you want to go to somebody else when you can go directly to the one in charge? You know, it's like, it'd be like, hold on a minute, my name went right out of my head. Ashiah. It'd be like Ashiah at work, having problems at work, and instead of going to Joe or Miss Tam, she goes to Bree over here. Now, why would you want to go to Bree when Bree's got no more responsibility than the Shia does? But that's the way people are taught in certain religions. We teach and we believe, according to this Bible, that Jesus ever lived to make intercession for you. Not I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for this church. But you don't have to come to me. Just like Miss Billy. That's what I told Miss Billy when she came. I said, it's you. Doing business with God. That's what salvation is. It's you confessing that you're a sinner and that you need Jesus. I said, I can pray with you and I'll pray for you, but I can't do it. I'll pray for her in the sense that I'm praying that she'll get saved, but I can't pray in the sense of no more than I can pray for Brother Joseph. Brother Joseph, Lord, save Brother. I can pray for him, but I can't pray for him in the sense that make that prayer of that step of faith. But Jesus is the one that's our intercessor. That's why you should take notes. Get your notebook. Write down notes. That was one of the best things that I used to do when we got at Fundamental. And Brother Lanning, at the time, I love him, and I hate that he's where he's at right now. But we used to, me and my wife, both of us got notebooks of his notes, of his sermons. I wasn't much of a note taker, still not much of a note taker. That's why I usually, especially if he had a really good sermon, I'd get the CD from him. I told you, and I mean it this morning, I still got a copy of Who's on the Lord's Side. Let it come into me. I don't believe, unless I just lose my mind, I'm not going to forget that sermon ever, because it changed my life. It wasn't the man, it was the message, the Word of God. Though I was already saved, I wasn't sold out to God like I needed to be. That's why we tell you, get in the Word of God. Get in the Bible. Let God be your intercessor. Let God be your mediator. Let God, let Jesus Christ be your great high priest. Go with us to chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse number 19. Chapter Hebrews 10, 19. I like this. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter to the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You know, now I understand. I know how it feels. Now, if you got sin in your life, you don't want to go in boldly. You don't want to go in boldly. You know, you're humiliated, you've done wrong. But if you've done nothing wrong, and you've got no sin in your life, and you've got no sin in the camp, go boldly into the presence of God. Say, God, here's my petition. I'm praying for my mom. I'm praying for my aunt. I'm praying for my friend. Whatever it may be, I'm praying for this person. I'm praying for the Hoopers. I'm praying. You know, go boldly before God and make our petitions known unto Him. For your friends, for your family. Their eternal soul is on the line. Not just for that, but other things too, you know. Praying for somebody that's dealing with cancer. Praying for something that's happened in your life. This last couple months have been a trying time for me. I ask you, please pray. But we can have boldness by the blood of Jesus Christ to enter in. Verse 20. Excuse me. By a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Ain't it great? We got a high priest. He ever liveth to make intercession. He's our mediator There's one. The Bible says there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There's so many things that are attributed to Jesus, to the Son. We get to have because of His blood. So that's why I can't believe that it's symbolism about the blood. That's why I can't believe that it's just the blood just spilled out and that's all there was to it. They didn't just spill that blood in the Old Testament. They captured that blood and applied that blood to the mercy seat. I don't believe that blood just spilled out. That was the end of it. He says we can have boldness by the blood of Jesus to enter in. I don't believe that's symbolic, as some people do. I believe it's the blood of Jesus Christ, the pure blood of God, is in place that we can enter into the Holy of Holies in heaven, into the presence of God, and make our petitions known unto Him. Go with me now to 2 Peter 1. I'm just going to go through the one tonight. 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter 1. This covers the last part here. 2 Peter 1 verse number 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. So we have a more sure prophecy in that we have the Word of God readily available. They had the Word of God available to them. We had a war. Those Old Testament saints, I believe, they not fully understood everything that was going to happen with Christ and with the time after Christ. I believe a lot of them didn't understand the church. They didn't understand the Gentile being reconciled, how the Gentiles can be reconciled back to God like they was. But I believe they did have prophecy. They knew that Christ was going to come. When you read the Hebrews of Faith chapter, we see that they, by faith, believed what God revealed to them. They might not believe, do everything. But that's what Peter says here. He said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Hey, we've got the ending. We know that God's going to eventually, real soon, when we're called out of here, God's going to turn back to the Jew, and God's going to use the Jew once again to reach the lost people as the way that they were supposed to have been doing in the Old Testament. He says we have a more sure word of prophecy. Verse number 20, though. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. This is where Calvinists, this is where all these off branches and false people. I've been doing research, I won't say on the CD or on the recording. I've been doing research about a certain sect of so-called Christians. We have one here, a church of them here. They came from false doctrine. And most of them probably do not even know that. There's a branch of religion here that's fairly young in the realm of Christianity, only have been around for just over 100 years, 150 years, and they were birthed out of false doctrine. The sad part is, they were birthed kind of in a way because of a Baptist layman and false doctrine. This is why it's important to know what the foundation of the church is. So I'm not trying to be vain, I'm just doing research on where they came about. They came about in the late 1800s. They came about because of a Baptist layman misinterpreting the prophecy of Daniel and trying to do everything. So many men have tried to understand that prophecy and try to twist it, make it work. And they what did they do? When the prophecy didn't come true, just like certain other religions, Jehovah's Witnesses and all, they back up and say, well, we weren't really wrong. We just misinterpreted it. He says, no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation. That's why I'm not setting days. Could the Lord come back this year? Absolutely. Could this be the year? Absolutely. But I'm not saying for sure, because I don't know for sure. I don't know if it's really 2022. I just know this is what year it is to me. We could be off a year. So it may only be 2021, and the calendar could be off by a year. I don't know. That's why I refuse to set time. And anybody that does that, they're a false prophet. That's why you're not supposed to do that. The Lord said, no man knoweth the hour, no man knoweth the day. That's why you're supposed to not do those kinds of things. And I'm not doing that to run anybody. I'm just letting you know. No prop, no. That's why, you know, men get up here and they'll say all kinds of things. Be careful. Be careful. It ain't just other denominations. There's some Baptists that do the same thing. Be careful of a man that'll do that kind of thing. Verse 21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Can y'all imagine? Think about this for a minute. John, around 90 AD, thereabouts, wrote the book of Revelation. He saw the future. You think that that's the reason? I wonder if that's the reason God waited till John was an old man before he gave it to him. Because imagine being living. You know, we've all seen the way that those people lived back then. There was no cars. There was no cell phones. The houses are not what we have now. Can you imagine looking 2,000 years into the future and seeing cars, computers, the mark of the beast? I mean, people 30 years ago could not imagine the things that are going on right now in our country 30 years. I read a thing yesterday. It's here. I don't know what exactly it's going to be. I know in Sweden they're already putting chips in people's hands so that they can go places and keep track of things. But Bill Gates has put millions of dollars behind what is now, what is called, it's a gel that they will inject into the skin. That supposedly, that was the one, this is not no conspiracy, they came on 60 Minutes and said this. It was a thing on 60 Minutes. It is a gel that they inject in the hand that can detect COVID and sicknesses and monitors your blood and everything else, but it can also has nanotechnology to be able to keep track of your vaccination status and all these other things. I don't know which one it may be. I don't know. I just know that the technology that John saw 2,000 years ago has just now come into existence. The Bible said when the two prophets in the book of Revelation talks about two prophets that'll be slain in the streets of Jerusalem, I think is where it is. I may be wrong. But they'll be slain in the streets. And everybody will be able to watch. The whole world will be able to watch. That technology has just now came into existence. And it says the whole world would be able to see them get up after 3 days, raise up from the dead. Their bodies will be left out in the street for 3 days, and after 3 days they'll raise up and God will take them out of here. And the whole world will watch it. That technology did not exist until now. See, all these people that have set dates and set times and, oh yes, it's 1980-something and da-da-da. Nope. The technology has just now. Oh, it's probably been in existence for a few years, but it's coming to light and they're not making... They're not hiding. Most of y'all remember we talked about this, 2 months ago when they, in front of the UN, put a beast that almost perfectly described by the book of Revelation. They put that beast up there in front of the UN. If you've not seen that, y'all go see that. It's almost perfectly a description of what the book of Revelation talks about of the beast, of one of the beasts in the book of Revelation. He had like a leopard wings, all of it, and they're not hiding it anymore, which is exactly what the Bible said will happen. The Bible said it will happen when during the tribulation, when Satan pretends to be Jesus, or pretends to be he's the Antichrist, pretends to be the Messiah, and tries to have the whole world worshiping him, there'll come a time when he'll get tired of the Jews, and he'll just basically reveal himself as Satan, and the rest of the world will continue following him, and he'll full out go against the Jews. And they'll continue with him, and the whole world will come up against the Jews. We're seeing it now. I mean, they're not hiding it at all. They don't care. They don't care about God. There's no saving this world. Do you understand? I've heard people through the years say, well, we just need to work harder. We got to save this world. According to that Bible, there's no saving this world. All we can do is see people like Miss Billy, Brother Joe, Brother Mike, other people in this town. All we can do is send missionaries and save the few that we can before it's eternally too late. And we've got access to the one that can do it. You don't have to go to nobody else. You go straight to the Father through Jesus Christ. We've got a priesthood and a responsibility to reach others. You have a responsibility. You took that plunge this morning. You know what you are now? You're more accountable to God. That's what you are. When you get saved, we're just more accountable to the Lord. When you take that plunge, you're just more accountable to God. I'm not doing that to scare you. I want you to do it because you want to be sold out to Him because of what He's done for you. I thank God a great honor to be here in La Crosse, Kansas to preach the gospel.
How about it tonight? Have you understood? Do you understand the full responsibility that you have and the full right that you have to this Bible? I know as a preacher, the Bible talks about, you know, that's how can I accept some man guide me? That's what the Ethiopian eunuch said in Acts chapter 8. Romans chapter number 10 talks about it, that, you know, that's what the preacher's for. God sent, how shall they preach except they be sent? And it is my responsibility to preach and try to help you to grow. I don't know about you, brother, but if I only ate 3 times a week, I'd be skinnier than Brother Mike. If you expect the 3 meals here a week to feed you up and keep you satisfied, you're never going to grow. That's why you've got to pick up this Bible and read it. That's why we have responsibility as a family to pick it up and read it. Because if you only eat Sunday morning, Sunday night, Tuesday night, you'll be anorexic for sure. We all have a responsibility to read this thing. Study it. If you don't understand it, got questions, ask. But we still have a responsibility. If you're struggling with it, I tell you, one of the easiest books is the book of John. But I'm telling you, if you need some help, the book of Psalms is the best one to help you just get some. When you're having some bad days, just pick them up and read a couple Psalms. The first one may not make it, but the second will, or the third one will. Read 2 or 3 of them. You'll find one that's just going to help you through some tough times. All right? The priesthood of all believers. And I do this, I want you to understand, because you have a responsibility to the lost. You've got to be able to give people Scripture. The Bible says, I'm going to paraphrase, but be ready to give an answer to all men that ask of you of the hope that you have. If someone asks you, well, why is your religion, Joe, why is your religion better than mine? Can you give an answer? If somebody says, well, how do you know, but how do you know that heaven's going to be your home? Can you give them Scripture? If not, you need to dig in there. Be able to answer. Y'all know some basic questions. Y'all be able to answer some basic things. Maybe I'll do that one day. Just give some basic questions and some basic answers of salvation, of eternal security. Those types of things. Just give some basic ones. Hey, if you got to, brother, get you a pen and paper. I've got books, but if you got to, write down the question and just write you down some scriptures underneath of it. Hey, so when somebody comes to ask you, and if you don't know, just be honest with them. I've had people I didn't know, so I can't answer that question, but I'll be glad to find out and get back with you.
That's why I said we have a responsibility. We have a priesthood. All believers have a priesthood because that's a responsibility all of us have, as saved people, to be able to give people an answer according to this Bible. I feel this way. If you ain't met yet, if you ain't met yet, my wife can testify. If you ain't met yet, you're going to feel somebody, well, I know what the Bible says, but I feel this. There's nothing you can do with them. All you can do is give them the Bible. Don't give people your feelings. Give people what the Bible says. God's right, and we can be wrong. People say, what's your opinion about this? I said, well, I have an opinion, but here's what the Bible says. And I try to make my opinion line up with the Bible. That's what it means when we're priesthood of all believers. We've got to be ready to give all people an answer. Because if we're going to see this place grow and filled up, it's going to take all of us working together. When people ask questions, giving them Bible answers. Telling them what the Bible says. And if you don't know, just be honest and say, Brother Ronnie McKinney, the missionaries I've talked about before, they're with Rock of Ages and they go to prisons. Know what, Brother Ronnie McKinney? It was the other brother that taught the class. He was talking about going into the schools. They've got the character under construction class that goes into the public schools. He said, he talked about this. He said, if kids ask you a question, don't just play them off. He said, because they won't forget. He said, he's had many times where the kids asked the question. He didn't have an answer to them. He said, I'll get back to you next time. And he said, as soon as he walked in the next time, they're asking their question. Did you get an answer to my question? He said, that stuff means more to people than you realize when you'll be honest with them. So when someone asks you, if you don't know, just be honest and say, I'll find out. Don't put them off. Because you never know what difference it may make in somebody's life. Father, we thank you for the day. And God, thank you, Lord, for our rights and responsibilities as priests, God, for you to reach the lost and to do our part, God, here in this world. God, be with us now this week. Give us a great week, God. May some of these things finally get ironed out. Help us, Lord, to get the card situation with the church account and all taken care of, fixed, Lord. And just I pray for some grace this week, God, and strength. God, just give us some people, Lord. I pray some families, Lord. We're asking for 4 families this year, God, to grow this thing and get this thing going back now. I know some, as the Bible said, Lord, we've had to do some trimming away and seen some trimming away, and I don't like it. God, if that's your will, so be it, God. I pray now that we would see families added, souls saved to the glory. God, thank you for this good count with Miss Billy, and I pray others would come. Use us here in La Crosse. And may we send missionaries around the world where we can't go to reach others. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.